Well, good day, everyone, and welcome to session 6 of My Firm Foundation. We're going to continue on talking about our new identity today, but really what we're going to be talking about today is I'm born again with that new identity and some of what that encompasses. And that's going to lead us into a whole nother session in the next week where we begin to talk about some in Him realities. And this is so important that we understand this. It really will allow us to walk in victory, to just say no to condemnation. And I think it is just critical that we get the revelation today. And you're even going to see some scriptures concerning that today. So let's get started here as we go. We want to review what we looked at last week in introducing this new identity. And what we saw was that, and I'm going back to Isaiah 53, just read two of the three verses we read. Says, our sicknesses he hath borne, our pains he hath carried them, and we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. And then it goes on to say, he is pierced for our transgression, he is bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by their bruises there is healing to us. So what are we seeing in this? That Jesus really took on the things that were ours, our identity, so to speak, as a sinful man. And we looked at a scripture in Hebrews that really validated that. And it's in the 14th verse of the second chapter. Since the children share in flesh and blood, talking about us, something we all have in common, he himself, our Lord Jesus, also partook of that same flesh and blood, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. So what are we seeing in this? And what did we see last week? That Jesus first identified with you and me, all of mankind. And as a man, he died physically, taking our sin away from us. And this really is the foundation for everything we build upon with that. Now again, flowing all from his love, but this is a key element of this foundation. And so we saw in previous week three identities we have with him. First, that we are crucified with Christ. Romans 6 says that our old self was crucified with him. Why? That this body of sin might be done away with, so that we would never be slaves to sin again. He took it on himself in order that it might be done away with, destroyed, if you want to say that. Past tense is the important key here. So we are not being crucified today with him. We were crucified. And we don't want to think about it that way because Jesus isn't on the cross. And we're certainly not either. So it's not something we're trying to earn or to live to merit. It has been done in this identification with Jesus. And that's what Galatians 2:20, the first part of the verse says. I have been crucified with Christ. A done deal. Forever legal. And the devil can do nothing about it. The second thing we looked at was we died with Christ. So crucified, sin goes on the cross, lifted up, taken away. Second identification that we saw was this dying with Christ. In Romans 6, the 5th verse, and we spent a lot of time in different verses in Romans 6, but it says, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of death, and then it continues on with some other explanation. So what do we say? That the crucifixion and us being crucified with him is past, so our dying with him has been past as well. The passion I really like, for since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his. And so that's really not only a foundation, but it's a jumping off point to a lot of what we're going to be speaking about today and in the coming weeks. Now, verses further down in Romans 6, 7 and 8 starts off by saying, for he who has died is freed from sin. So Jesus took our sin. And does that mean that when we died with him, that our sin was done away with? Yes. So we just see this compounding one upon another and just building. It goes on in verse 8, says, now if we have died with Christ. So we are dead. I said last week that we're free from sin, and you can't make a dead man do anything. And that needs to be a key thing that we learn. The devil cannot make us do anything. He cannot force sin upon us. It's things that we do or say or think that allows a crack where we may walk in an element that is sinful. But what? But we are not sinners, because that has been taken away from us. And then the third identification that we looked at was in Romans 6 again, verses 3 through 4a. And here's what it says, Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? That's really just validating everything we've talked about. Verse 4 then goes on to say, therefore, because of what we just said, we have been buried with him. And then it talks about through baptism into death. Now, buried with him through baptism, we have the ritual of baptism, and that's what we're signifying. When we're laid down in the water, it's as if we were going down under the water into a grave. But then the good part is what we're going to begin to talk about today when we come back up alive. Now, new living, for we died, and were buried with Christ, and again, by baptism. So our baptism is a type of burial with him, my identifying with what he did for us. And then we took some time and looked at a number of scriptures about the results of this identification, its impact of the crucifixion, death, and burial. Again, in Romans 6. That we were crucified with him, our body of sin might be done away with, so that, I'm going to really emphasize this again, so that no longer are we slaves to sin. He who has died is free from sin. Now, why do I repeat this? Because we need to see that we are not a sinner saved by grace. We were a sinner. And we are saved by grace. But you can't be both. Because it's sin being dealt with and taken away that has opened the door back to fellowship with God that we've talked about so much earlier. And for that to happen, the blood of Jesus had to be presented on the heavenly holy of in the heavenly holy of holies in order for our redemption to be complete. Now, his goodness doesn't stop with a crucifixion, a death, and a burial. And we left you last week with where we're going to start today, because I didn't want to leave on focused on anything to do with death nor sin. And what we said last week is, and we're going to be talking today about born again with a new identity, that we've been made alive in Christ. And this is our fourth identification. We looked at Hebrews 6, but I want to spend some more time on it because we ran a little long last week. And this is Hebrews 1, 5 and 6. For to which of the angels did he ever say, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee? And what's the answer to that? To none of them. Angels are not sons. Now, you know that we are, and we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but don't you ever think that you're a little bit below an angel. Now, as long as we have this flesh, we're encumbered by some things. But spiritually, we are above them because they are not a son. And that's what you're fixing to see. And then this next phrase, after the question that he just asked. And again. Now, why is that in there? Well, God brought Jesus into the earth as his what? Only begotten son. Only. There was one. There will never be another. Jesus was the second Adam. Adam was the first one that he brought in. Then Jesus came upon this earth, did that identification with us as we talked about. He was crucified, he died, and was buried. And here it says, and again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. So what is he saying here? He's giving us the notion that this is a rebirth of Jesus as well. He is coming back. And again, once again, I'm saying he's my son. And he even emphasizes that in verse 6, where it says, and when he again brings the firstborn, that's Jesus, for the second time, into this world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. Why? Because now he is the exalted one. So what we want to see with this, and I believe these are the words that were spoken when the Father spoke these words, Jesus was raised from the dead. Hell had no clue what was going on. He defeated him, took away the keys that Adam had given to Satan. And now here we are, being born again later, as what numbers I don't know. But he is our firstborn. He is the firstborn again of many. And that's what we're going to build on today. And so that is the identity with Jesus. Now we get a sense of how we can act as Jesus did on the earth. But our true identity is with the resurrected Jesus. The one who had sin, just like we did, placed upon him. Only we did it. And then what happened next? Well, he was crucified, dead, and buried. And now we are born again as well, and we are brothers to the and sons of God, just as Jesus was the first. Listen to the passion. God never said to any angels what he said to Jesus. And this, I will be the father to him, and he will be the son to me. And then verse 6, and again, there's that phrase. When he brought his firstborn son into the world, that's when he told, let all my angels bow down before him and kiss him in worship. So I believe we made this comment last week, but it's worth repeating. Your identity in Jesus, because of that, is how he saw you upon the resurrection of Jesus and how he sees you today as his born again child. A born-again son. And so when he said of Jesus that you are my favored son, today I fathered you, that's also what he believes about you and I when we walk in this identity and we can see that, what a relationship that gives us to have with the Father through the Holy Spirit. We also mentioned that the angels rejoice when he was raised from the dead. And what happens when one sinner is born again today? The angels in heaven are rejoicing. See how much he loves you? And what do we know? Big John 17, but the 21st verse says, 23rd maybe, he loves you and I just like he loves Jesus. Now, let me affirm what we've just seen in this one verse with three other ones. And then I want to talk about a little bit about the impact of what this means to us. Ephesians 2:5. And we're repeating some verses we've read earlier, but that's okay. We have a different perspective now. This is foundational for us. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. Now, what is this saying? That we didn't deserve to be born again. We deserve to die and not be born again because of our sins. But because Jesus did that for us, we don't have to have it. We're not getting what we deserve. Oh, thank God we don't get what we deserve. That's why I tried to never say, Lord, I don't deserve this. Because what I deserve, I don't want. Thank goodness for his mercy and his grace to us. So when he was made alive, so were we. And you're going to talk about that's when the most power God had to use most of his power. It says other things, he just flicked a finger to kick the devil out of heaven. But we're going to see that there was great power required. Why? To raise Jesus. Because we were all raised with him. Colossians 2, verse 13 reaffirms that. Ephesians and Colossians go very close together. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, in other words, we were dead and we had no covenant, no covenant rights, he made you alive together with him, Jesus. Let me just say that again. He made you and me alive together with Jesus. In other words, in his mind at the same time. Now, it manifests for us when we receive him. But that one act, we were all given this opportunity and raised up with him. And why? See again, having forgiven us all of our transgressions, which enables us to have that relationship and fellowship with him. 1 Corinthians 15, the 22nd verse, a short verse, really says this. For as in Adam all die, meaning we picked up that death nature that he took on himself when he committed treason, and we had no option. We had no way to get out of it. We could not do anything. Neither could Adam. Now, I've said before, I wonder if he said, Lord, please forgive me. The mercy of the Lord might have taken place, but he didn't. So for as all in Adam die, so also in Christ, all shall be made alive. Now, let's be blunt. We know that all are not born again. That's his desire for us, but we know that doesn't happen. So what is he saying here? That this one act, with the power of God raising Jesus up, also raised every man who had ever committed sin up with him, if he would believe and receive the work of that blood. Now, what is the impact of being made alive? Well, it's way too numerous to try to talk through all of them, but let me summarize a couple of things here today. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, so he's known all of us since the beginning of time. But again, we have to do an action. Remember, we saw all the hours that we talked about last week, but we had to take action on that. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Now, don't think that that means he caused it to happen or to be made sure it happened. It's just said he gave us all this chance, caused all mankind. He predestined all men to have a chance to walk in this knowledge of him through our identification with Jesus and being raised from the dead when we accept him. So he also predestined to become what? Conformed to the image of his son. To take on the very nature of his son. Now, that's just overwhelming to me. We know as part of that, we also have the Holy Spirit. And we'll be getting into that more in future. But he did that so that Jesus could be the firstborn of many brethren. So I just want to affirm to you things we've been saying. Give you two or three witnesses so that the devil has no chance to say, you are not a valued son of God. Yes, you are. Angels rejoiced when you got born again. And every person on this earth has that chance. Also in Romans, but the 6th chapter, going back to verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Now, he died a physical death. He has been born again. There is a man at the right hand of the Father. But when he died that spiritual death, he will never die that way again. And guess what? You and I take on that same very nature. Yes, even when we missed it, we have forgiveness, thank goodness. And we can walk with that forgiveness, again, knowing these foundational principles that we're talking about today. So, for me too, death is no longer my master. I don't have to fear it. I live never to die again. Now, my flesh will lay down, but the real me, the recreated me, the one that has the very nature of Jesus, the real me will live in eternity knowing Him and His Father. Man, that's why we don't have to fear death, talking about this physical body, because we have a hope for our future. Romans 6:11 actually tells us, even so, yourselves, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. That's the way we need to think. That says right there, don't think of yourself as an old sinner. You were a sinner, but that is not you any longer. There is a new you, never before existed when we were born again. And this is so paramount in us understanding the authority that we have on this earth, the responsibility of sharing the gospel. It's just everything we do, we must know this, that we must consider ourselves dead to sin, not consider ourselves dead to sin, but what? But alive to God. And then here's a phrase I just want you to underline if you haven't, in Christ Jesus. Again, Romans 6:11. We need to reckon or consider ourselves not dead to sin, but alive to God. Say it another way. We need to see ourselves like Jesus sees us, which is the same way the Father sees Him. Now, a key result of all this, and I'm going to just read it, but we'll get into this in a little more detail, probably two sessions down. And we spent a lot of time, for many of us, on this subject during the past, early part of the past year. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He, the Father, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin on my behalf. And then here's the being alive part today, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, again, more on this later, but the Amplified and the New Living, and then we'll move on. For our sake, He made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through Him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, which we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with Him. How? By His goodness, by that love for us. New Living is a little simple, much less wordy. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. We've seen that in this study. So that we could be made right with God. In other words, nothing hindering you and me in our relationship with God. And how is that happening? We have been made right with God through Christ, or in our Christ Jesus. So let's look at two more today, and we'll conclude with these two that are the final of the six identifications that we have, plus recognizing the seventh, that Jesus came and identified with us first. Next, we were raised with Christ. Just as He were raised, so are we. Ephesians 2:5-6. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's what we've just been talking about. And then verse 6 says, and raised us up with Him. Our fifth identification. We were elevated, not just on earth, but you're going to see we've also been elevated as we were raised up with Him in the heavenlies. We've been raised up in this spiritual realm so that we can overcome our enemies, which are in the spiritual realm. Our enemies is not flesh and blood here. Our enemy is the devil and all of his minions that work to try to separate us from what we are talking about today that we have. we are much higher, much, much higher than we were previously. And you're going to see this more. You're going to see that some of the things that the people had in the Old Testament, we get too. But there's just this new and better covenant that takes us to a level that they never had hoped to attain to. We are really back to what Adam had just before he committed treason and gave all the authority to the enemy. So the result then, just like Jesus, we don't have to ask heaven to bind. We bind. Colossians 2:15, talking about Jesus, says, when he disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Now, we get to have that same triumph over them through him, in him. And then Hebrews 2:14, as we saw last week, that he might render powerless him who had the power of death. That is so key. That takes away all fear. Then the master fear is the fear of death. Everything follows from there. But with that gone, there is nothing, nothing that we have to fear. So this applies with me. As I was raised in him, I was raised with him, so can I live powerless or powerful, such that the devil has no power over me through spiritual death any longer. And the final one for this week is that we are seated with Christ Jesus. Now, what is something that, if you're seated, give implication to? Well, you're going to see it's two things. The first is that you're not working to attain it anymore. It's a done deal. And just as Jesus is seated, so are we seated. Ephesians 2:5-6. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Second one, and he raised us up with him. And the third one, and seated us with him in the heavenly places. And here's this phrase again, in Christ Jesus. Seated with him, in him, at the right hand of the Father, that place of authority that was given to Jesus, that's where we're now seated, and that's our sixth identification. And if you think about it, and this is why I was so glad the Holy Spirit brought this up, this is where we're seated today, and this is exactly what Paul is praying that we see in the scriptures we're about to talk about. We must have the revelation of Ephesians 1:17-23. And today I just hope the Lord is going to pull back the curtain, particularly for some of you who maybe are newer in your walk with the Lord and listening. And so this is a prayer that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to pray over you and I. So if the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to pray it, and it's his will, and Paul prayed it, then what do we know? That the Father heard it, and that the answers are available for us just as Paul prayed. So starting with verse 17, he's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's not asking for more of something we don't have. He's asking that we understand what we already have. 18 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's talking about you and I. The riches of the glory of his inheritance. That's you and I. Made in his image, raised up with him in that image. And verse 19, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? Now, some translations will say toward and for. So it was toward us when what? When he exerted all the power to raise Jesus. But there's also power for us to walk in the authority we have now. And these are in according with the work of his mighty strength. And here's the part we were just mentioning, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, just where we've been seated. And look at how he describes it. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And 22, and he put all things in subjection under his feet. And we're going to be talking about that we are the body here on the earth. So everything he's about to say has been subjected, must be subjected to Jesus, his feet. And if we're his body, that means for us as well. And then it says, he gave him as head over all things to whom? The church, which is his body. And this is the phrase I want you to see. The final, really, the pinnacle of what we have. That we together are the fullness of him who fills all in all. Together as his body, we are Jesus on this earth. So what's the bottom line? Romans 5:17. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, Jesus, which it did, much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will do what? Will reign in life through the one Jesus. That's in our identification with him. All because he had first identified with us so that he could take away this body of sin and cause us to be dead to sin and alive to him. So it's through our union with this being born again that we're going to be founded in this new identity. And from this, we will begin talking about the realities we have as we live in and through him in the coming weeks. If this is new to you, listen to it again. For many of you, it's just going to reaffirm and maybe help get rid of areas of condemnation that we walk in as you see yourself free from sin and any impact it can bring upon us. Love you. Thank you. You honor us by studying with us, and we just say thank you, Lord, for what you've shown us today. Have a great week.